Good morning. I'm excited to be here this morning. I was out of town for a conference last weekend, but I heard what the message was about. I heard the podcast and I was like, did Brent set me up? You know, he talks about we affirm women leading and women teaching, and then he has me speak this week, so I feel like I gotta prove myself. I also heard that he inserted my quote when I said, oh God, the last thing God made was women, and he couldn't make anything better than that. I think I said, boom. You know, anyway, so I'm excited to be here this morning and to share with you and what God is doing in me and I think in our community. We are kicking off a new series. So we've been in the divisive series talking about 1 Corinthians and the Corinthian church. What are the things that kind of divide people? What are they fighting about? There's a lot of fighting going on in the church. What are the things where there's division happening? And how do we address that as Christians? And now we're actually kind of moving in a different direction. We're going to stay in 1 Corinthians, but we're going to talk more about practical kind of how-tos in our faith. So we're starting this series. We're calling it This Is Us. Anybody watch the hottest new TV drama? Oh, yeah, I knew it. Good stuff. It's called This Is Us. So it's a nod to that series, Real Faith for Real Life. And I hope that in this series, we're just gonna get some practical, good how-tos, like how to really live out our faith in real life situations from Paul. So I'm gonna read from 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, if you wanna follow along in your Bible or on the screens in front of you. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body, and I make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This is an appropriate message for this morning, because as we sit here in our pews comfortably listening to a message, there's a lot of people running in downtown Des Moines right now. In fact, our house is on the route. There's runners running by our house currently, I'm sure. It's the Sunday of the Des Moines Marathon, the Des Moines Half Marathon and the Marathon, and we actually have a number of folks from our church who are out running this morning, running together, running for a cause, and pray for them. Take a minute, think about their bodies aching as we listen to this message on running the race. I also had an opportunity to be a part of a race yesterday. So they had a 5-mile race as part of the experience of the Des Moines Marathon weekend. I participated as a cheerer, not a runner. My husband was running. He had his 40th birthday yesterday. And you know what he chose to do to celebrate his birthday was go out and run a race in the rain. And it took a few friends along. I said, I will gladly come and cheer you on. And so that's what Pearl and I did. They actually gave out these awesome little cowbells. And Pearl and I just stood on the sidelines and we just cheered and cheered and cheered and cheered. So it's fun as I've been all week kind of preparing and thinking about what it means to run the race and run it, you know, spiritually, and also thinking about all the physical implications too. I mean, clearly, like, running is not my thing, okay? So I'm like, Paul, I'm having a hard time relating here. So I did a lot of research this week and thought a lot about what does it mean to run a race and what is Paul saying to his people and to us this morning. And then it was fun on Saturday to go and actually watch a race and watch all the dynamics and see all the kinds of things that were going on. And I felt like I was like living the scripture. You know, I want to start preaching to the people next to me. Like, do you know? You need to get in the race. And yesterday I was on the sidelines, cheering hard. But you know what? This passage isn't about being on the sidelines. It's about getting in the race. It's about being a runner and being one of the runners who races and doesn't just race, but races to finish, races for the prize. And so that's what I want to share about this morning. It's interesting. I have been feeling the race thing again because of the weekend that we're in right now. But in this context, Paul's folks that he's talking to in Corinth, they would have understood this illustration perfectly and beautifully. It's very clear why he uses the image of race and prize. If you think about where Corinth is, it's in Greece, not too far from Athens, and that's where the origination of the Olympics came from. And so these folks would have known the games and known them well. They would have been obsessed with the Olympic Games. I mean, their whole culture was kind of created around the Olympic Games. And so these folks that Paul's talking to in Corinth, they would have known what it means to run a race. In fact, as I was researching, I found out that even from like ages 6, 7, 8, young kids would go into training for Olympic athletes, to be Olympic athletes already, like as little babes, you know, they start training in this culture and to run and to compete in the games. And so this culture was kind of athletic obsessed. And as I read about it and learned about it, I thought, you know, it's similar to us. It's similar to our culture. It's different, but it's similar in the sense that we love our athletes too, right? We watch them on TV. We spend a lot of money watching our athletes, right? Whether we're watching it on DirecTV and paying that outrageous bill, or we're going to the games and we're buying season tickets. And, you know, we spend a lot of time and we spend a lot of money kind of obsessing over our favorite athletes. I feel it right now. I'm a diehard Cubs fan and I'm spending a lot of time obsessing over my, and Dave just gave me a thumbs down back there. Distraction. Jesus, help me. There's a sense in our culture that we love athletics, you know, and we obsess over it. Football and baseball and basketball and all these things, and we spend tons of time and money and energy, right? But what's different about us than the church at Corinth that Paul was preaching about is that we just watch our athletes. We're not trying to be them, right? We're not trying to train our kids up to be Olympic athletes. We're not training to be Olympic athletes. We're not in the race. We're not in the games. You know, we're not invested in our own physical bodies. We want to sit on our couch and we want to watch it, right? We want to sit in the stands on the sidelines. We want to watch it happen. But what Paul is calling us to this morning is to get in the game. I think our spiritual life is the same way. It's so easy for us to leave it to the professionals, right? Just like we do with athletes. We're like, I could never do what he does. I could never do what she does. But I am fascinated. I like to watch her and I want to kind of consume what they're good at. And I want to enjoy it. But I could never do that. And I think sometimes that happens in our spiritual lives, where we let other people do the hard work, or we let you know, pastors and ministry leaders and missionaries and those folks, they're like, those are the professionals, right? And we'll sit on the sidelines and consume and watch or learn every now and then. Feels like we engage on occasion, right? We come to church on a Sunday morning if it works out for us, if we're not busy, if it's convenient for us. We don't necessarily own our own faith, right? Often we want somebody else to do it for us or to teach us, but we don't want to get into scripture ourselves. We want someone to pray for us, but we don't want to pray ourselves. We think a little preaching here or a conference here or a podcast here or reading a book on occasion is all it takes. And that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul is saying that faith is meant to be lived out daily in training and running a daily race. Paul's calling us out this morning, just like he was calling out the church at Corinth. And he's saying, and this is a strong exhortation from him. You know, he's like, I'll take a blow to my body to make my body a slave so that I can finish the race. This is a strong exhortation from Paul to run this race of faith and to run it well. He's saying, train for it so that you can finish it. It's not just about joining the race. It's about finishing the race. It's about getting the prize and winning the race. And that requires a whole lot more than us sitting back and watching our spiritual lives happen from the sidelines. It requires us to have discipline. It requires us to make an effort. It requires sacrifice even. And often we don't talk about this because in our faith, we're so soaked in the concept of grace and so soaked in the concept of mercy and the understanding that our relationship with God is not dependent on what we do. It's dependent on our relationship with him and being his son or his daughter. And that is 100% true. But what also is true is that our faith requires effort. Our faith requires work to do it. We've got to do it. It's an active thing, right? It says in different parts of Scripture, right? Faith without works is dead. Or we work out our faith with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean that we're working out our salvation, it doesn't mean that we are saved by what we do, but it means that we put an effort into our spiritual lives, just like we do into our jobs and just like we do into our physical lives, right? We sleep, we eat, we take care of ourselves. We do the same thing spiritually, or we should do the same thing spiritually. Do you ever think about how much you moved as a kid? Wow, I've been thinking about this lately because we have a toddler in our house, and the girl never stops moving until bedtime. And she runs everywhere. So she runs, you know, if it's like this toy is here and that toy is there, she runs across the living room. If it's time to eat, you know, we go from playing to eating, she runs to the table, right? And we had some people over last night, and all these kids, I mean, in a pack, no matter what they're doing, they run from thing to thing, always. Like, walking seems like, you know, totally outrageous. Why would you walk? You know, don't waste time. They run, right? And it just makes me laugh. Matthew and I are like, we're exhausted just watching our child sometimes. And I think that there's a funny illustration in that, but it seems like when we're young and even, you know, even up through middle school and things, we're always moving. We love to play. We love to be active. And then we grow up and we get jobs, like proper people, and we work and we're busy and we stop moving. And I think the same thing happens in our spiritual lives. We start out passionate. We start out running the race strong. And I see it in my own life. I remember when I first became, like, kind of recommitted my life to Jesus as an adult. I was going to a church where it was just, people were very quiet and very serious. So, you know, my kind of people. Just kidding. I stuck out like a sore thumb, okay? And now you can imagine, I'm passionate. Now I've like learned that I really love Jesus and I want to follow him. So I'm just talking to everybody and I'm trying to glean anything I can. There weren't a lot of options or a lot of ways to really get involved, but at that time they had a church choir and they sang pretty calm, quiet, sad songs in my brain. And they wore robes and everything. And I'm like, this is not me. This is so not my style at all. But I was so hungry and so passionate about Jesus that I was like, I'm joining the choir. I'm going to be in the choir, you know. I stuck out like a sore thumb. Yeah, I sang too loud. Yeah, I moved a little too much, right? And then I remember just going to some of the older women in the church and being like, will you meet with me? Will you talk to me about your faith? I want to know. I want to know about your journey with God, and I want to learn from you. Will you study the Bible with me? You know, I was passionate, and I think whether it was, I've heard some of your stories, you know, whether it was now, when you committed your life to Jesus at a church camp or a revival, or, you know, maybe it was a moment in Sunday school, or maybe it was older, like Amanda and Liz were talking about. Maybe it was in college, you know, or as young adults. I don't know when you started really following Jesus, but usually we start the race so strong, and we're passionate, and we're like, yeah, I'll sacrifice anything. I want to grow in my relationship with God. I want to be more like him. And then just like kids, you know, we grow up and we kind of quit running and we quit seeking out wisdom and we quit, you know, we drop out of the choir and we quit going to that Bible study. We get busy and we get tired and the passion fades. The passion only lasts for so long. And then we require discipline to stay in the race. But Paul this morning is saying, get back in it. Get in that race, train and compete to win. It was funny this morning, Brett and I were talking. He's like, this is the theology of competition, you know? When Paul's like, get in it to win it. You know, Brent's like, yeah, crush the other guys. And so that's my Brent quote. I don't know that Paul's saying crush the other guys. I think there's a prize for many of us. He talks about unity right before this. I think when he says, you know, race for the prize, he's like, together we race for the prize. But what he's saying is, don't give up. Finish the race. Race with the sense of the prize in mind. And I can understand why Paul's preaching this. I think he's preaching it because he knows it's human nature. It's human nature to start out strong and be running and passionately following Jesus. And these guys would have been persecuted and having a lot of struggles, and it would be easy for them to kind of bow out of the race and be like, no, I don't want to follow Jesus anymore. And he's like, no, stay in it and be in it till the end. Finish well. And I relate to this, and I see this. I think it's interesting to see the shift in our culture right now. So many of you probably noticed this. I feel like I have conversations like this a lot, but I see in my parents and my grandparents' generation, there's this kind of, I'm going to work hard, and the value for just working hard. You know, it was like the harder you worked, the more significant you actually were. Like there was just real honor for people who'd worked hard. So there was a value for hard work. There was a value for consistency and loyalty, right? People had careers. They had careers that lasted a long time, years, you know, working for the same company for years, even if they hated it, and they'd stick in it, and they'd last, right? And then they'd retire, and it was like they had this long career. And there was like there was a value for hard work and for sticking to something and for doing things that you didn't like even because you just had to, right? Because that's what you do. Well, that's changing. I work with a lot of millennials on campus with Amanda and Liz, and I'm not hating on millennials. I see a lot of good in this millennial generation. But what you also see is something changing where there's not a passion for hard work. The passion is, I want to follow my passions. You know, the culture is shifting to, I don't need a career. I want to try something here, but I don't want to be too committed, you know? And then I want to try this, and I want to try this. Or I don't like to do things that are hard. You know, I want to do something that's significant and feels good and that I can get behind, that I'm passionate about, right? And I think that's a real issue. I think what's happening in our culture is that we're seeing, like, people moving from that value of hard work and of long-lasting things and of loyalty to being people who are easily moved or who easily drop out of a race. Now, I admire this thing in folks who believe that way. That's like, I want to do something significant. And I agree, me too. I'm that way. I want to do something significant. But what I think is that actually God is at work and doing significant things, even in our mundane lives, even in the daily grind that feels hard. I don't want to get up and go to work today. You know, I don't want to get up and do this today. I don't want to keep being faithful to the task in front of me, but I'm going to, and I trust that God is going to make significance out of that, and that I'm being built up internally, that something is being changed in me and developed in me and transformed in me. And I think that we're losing a value for commitment and for consistency and for faithfulness, but our faith requires that. And that's what Paul is saying this morning. He's saying, our thriving in our relationship with Jesus, our race requires faithfulness. Our race requires staying in it, even when you don't feel like it, right? Our race requires running when you're exhausted, running when you're tired, running when you're weary, running when you don't feel the passion or that runner's high. But our faith requires that. It requires daily talking with God, daily interactions, daily communion with God, daily thinking about his word, daily and weekly being committed to him and to other believers. Passion only gets us so far. It doesn't last forever. I think passion will get us off the couch, right? It gets us pumped for the race, but eventually we become weary and we wear out. Well, I saw an interesting TED Talk. I don't know if any of you have seen TED Talks, but it's these short, like 5-minute talks on kind of interesting issues or stories. And so this woman was sharing about an interesting subject. So she is a teacher and also a psychologist. And as she studied her craft and as she was in the classroom, she started to wonder, what is it that actually makes students successful? And she had a lot of questions. She's like, you know, it seems like it's resources or family support or the teaching, you know, who are the teachers? And so she talked about all these different things. And so her curiosity got the best of her. She gathered a team and they did this massive research project to find out what actually makes a student successful. And so it was a long project and it covered so many folks. So it was from like West Point grads, so like brilliant minds, you know, most disciplined brilliant minds, right? And then it was like, you know, also we're going to Chicago, to the roughest neighborhood in Chicago, and we're gonna study kids there too. So it was kids of all ages, it was kids from all backgrounds, kids who had the support of their parents, kids who did not. Kids who had money, kids who did not. You know, kids who had brilliant IQs, kids who did not. And they said, what makes a student successful? What combination of these things? And what they found was surprising to them and to many other people. What they found was it wasn't IQ, it wasn't resources, it wasn't if they had the family support. All those things actually mattered and did play a role, but the one key thing that was common among the most successful students who kind of stood out above the crowd from their peers, from all different backgrounds, was something called grit. Have you heard of the word grit? I think about my mom as a kid. She'd be like, you need some stick-to-itiveness. The word stick-to-itiveness is what I think about when I think of grit. This idea of grit, of kind of persevering. So I'm gonna read you a little definition of grit. The definition of grit is passion and perseverance for long-term goals. And I was reading, I thought this was really interesting. It said that individuals high in grit are able to maintain their determination and their motivation over long periods, despite experiences with failure and adversity. Their passion and commitment towards the long-term objective is the overriding factor that provides stamina required to stay the course amid challenges and setbacks. Grit. Grit is what made these students successful. And I remember watching that talk and thinking, oh man, bummer for me, because I lack in the grit. And I thought, oh, I want more grit. I want to be grittier. And this morning, I want to say, I think we lack spiritual grit sometimes. And I think that's what Paul is calling the church at Corinth to, and that's what he's calling us to. He's saying, be spiritually gritty. Have some grit in your spiritual lives. Hang in there when things are tough. Hang in there when you don't feel it. Keep reading your Bible. Keep knowing the Word of God. Keep praying when your prayers aren't being answered. Keep going to church when you're not feeling it and you're not feeling fed, you know? Keep hanging out with your friends who are doing Bible study with you, who are asking you about your life, even when you're mad at them, you know? Hang in there. Run that race and stick in it. Have some spiritual grit. And so the problem is that we've bowed out of the race too soon. And the solution is we got to get back in, and we need grit to do that and to stay in it. But then if you're like me, you're asking the question, Paul, why? Okay, I want to be spiritually gritty, but why? You know, why should I finish the race? Why do I finish the race? I saw an advertisement on Facebook a couple weeks ago it was advertising a fall race, some kind of cold weather race, and they had a picture of a runner dressed in all his runner's gear. Like he had just run the race and he's just holding this giant cinnamon roll and it's like ooey gooey, and they're advertising this race, you get a giant homemade cinnamon roll at the end, you know? And I was just laughing, I'm like, okay, I could drive to the store and buy one of those, like it's gonna take more than that, right? To get me off the couch. God, what is it? Why do people race? And maybe it's, you know, I don't know, Matthew loves the free t-shirts, or maybe it's that medal, you wanna have the medal, you know, they click between their teeth. Maybe it's that you want the hot body, you know, you want to look good, you want to race and look good, you want to be healthy. Maybe it's a cause. A lot of people are racing for a cause. The Wheelocks, if you know the Wheelocks or the Gambianas, they're out this morning racing on behalf of their son and his health issues. Maybe you're racing for a cause, like breast cancer or Alzheimer's, you know. People run for a lot of different reasons. But Paul says in this passage in Corinthians, he says, we don't run aimlessly, which to me means we run with a purpose. We run with a focus. And what is that? Why do we run? He says, we run with the prize in mind. Run. Run to win the prize. Your motivation is the prize. Run to win the prize. I'm like, okay, what is the prize? Now I know I'm running for the prize, but what is the prize? And I think the prize is a few things. I think when Paul's talking in this passage, when he says run to win the prize, he means a few things. And the first is, I think the prize is simply finishing the race. I mean, it's an incredible, extraordinary deal to say, yes, even though ups and downs and I've burnt out and I've been tired and weary, but I have followed Jesus and loved him even when I didn't feel like it. I've grown. I've had my internal world strengthened. You know, I've been faithful to my church. I've been faithful to love and know Jesus. I've been faithful to pray when I didn't feel it. I've been faithful to grow and nourish my soul and my internal life and walk and run with Jesus. And then to finish it and to finish well, I think of the passage where Jesus says, well done, my good and faithful servant. I think that's what he says at the end of the finish line. I mean, that's a prize itself. You finish the race, and Jesus says, well done. You have finished the race. I thought yesterday, watching Matthew finish, and watching Amanda and Liz ran in it too, watching them finish, and seeing, you know, just the grins on their face, and watching people at the finish line, and seeing that joy. It was beautiful. They loved finishing the race. I mean, nobody can take that feeling away from you. Like, you just finished this race. You did it, you know? When Matthew came through there, he wasn't asking what was my time, all these things. He wasn't telling me about all the hiccups along the way. He just said, I did it. You know, I finished. And part of the finish, part of the prize is just our finishing and the satisfaction that comes with the well done, my good and faithful servant. And I think another part of the finish or the prize is the eternal rewards that we receive. And this is hard. It's kind of mysterious in Scripture. And I will admit, I don't even fully understand. I asked Brent last night, I was like, can I say this? Is this heretical? Like, I'm still trying to figure out where I land on this. But what you see in Scripture is actually that there are actually rewards that we receive in heaven, kind of based on how we ran the race on earth. And again, that kind of grates on something in me because we're so soaked in grace and that we don't get things based on what we do. But there is, and that's true, but there is something that we see in Scripture about in heaven, there are crowns. There are, you know, like the wreath, like Paul talks about, there are crowns. There are rewards that we receive based on how we've run the race. And even, I just looked through Scripture, and they're kind of all over. There are just a few I want to highlight. So in Matthew and Luke, it talks about when you're faced with insult and persecution, like when people hate you because of your faith, there's a specific reward for you in heaven. In 2 Timothy, it talks about how we receive the reward or the crown of righteousness. There's a reward that we receive in heaven of righteousness. In 1 Peter, it talks about how if you're a shepherd and you compassionately lead and guide people, there's a specific reward for you. And you see this, and there's mystery around it, and I don't fully know and understand it. But there's something there. And as I continue to think about this idea of rewards in heaven, I thought, where else does it talk about crowns in Scripture and reward, the crown or the reward? In Revelation, it talks about it. In John's picture of what heaven is like, John is giving us a picture of heaven. And he says, you know, there's these creatures and there's these people gathered around in the throne room. And they're saying, worthy, 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 holy, holy, holy. And you know what they're doing? It says they're casting their crowns at his feet. They're casting their crowns at Jesus' feet. And I love that because it's like, it actually doesn't even matter because the rewards we do get or the crowns that we do get, they mean nothing. We just cast them at Jesus' feet. They mean nothing in comparison with just seeing and knowing and being with Jesus. So that's the third thing And the most important part of the prize is the prize is Jesus himself. The prize is transformed internal world to be more like him, to be with him. So we run the race with him, and we run the race for him, and we run the race to him as our prize. And we get to experience that relationship with him as we run the race together and as we finish the race, and he's there saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We run because of Jesus. And as we run, we are transformed into being more like him. And the other thing I thought that I just experienced, it just felt a little bit yesterday, was we run for the prize, right? We run the race for the prize, for all those things, for Jesus and for our own transformation and for the rewards that we receive in heaven, and we run to finish. But yesterday I had this moment with Jesus at the race, Matthew's race, and I thought, we run to invite other people to run as well. So yesterday, I was watching Matthew run and Amanda and Liz run, and I love to cheer. And I told you, they gave us these little cowbells. Okay, so we made multiple pit stops along the way after the start of the race to find Matthew and to cheer him on. Couldn't find him, sometimes we just cheered for other people. And Pearl had her little cowbell, and we sat there and we were just cheering, you know, we're like, come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Just cheering people on. And I was watching them. We were at Gray's Lake, which is like the midway point, and they were struggling. Like, they were sweating, they were tearing clothes off. They're like just barely making it, you know? And I can see, I'm like, dang, these people are tired and they're weary. So let's stay here a little longer and cheer. And then we made our way to the finish line. And these same people that are exhausted and weary and looked like they weren't going to make it are now finishing. And you know what? I saw when they finished that line, this grin and just this joy. And I could like feel it. I mean, I felt emotional. Like, they finished the race. And you know what it did in me? It made me want to join in the race, which is crazy. And I said to Matthew, don't hold me to that. But it made me wish that I was running. Watching Matthew race, watching my friends race, watching these people I didn't even know, watching them give it all on that concrete and just run and sweat it out and with grit run that race and then get to finish and see the joy they experience and the elation that they feel, it made me want to join in. It made me want to race. And I think spiritually that's the same thing. As we live our lives racing faithfully with Jesus, to Jesus, people see our lives and they're like, oh, I want to run. I want to run too. I want to race and I want to finish too. So how do we do it? We talked about the problem and the solution. We talked about the why. Why do we run? Now, how do we do it? And just as I close, I just want to say a few practical things, but you already know all these things. How do you race? The first thing is you just get off the couch. Maybe you've like kind of resigned yourself. You're like, I already did my time. You know, I've already invested in the church. I've already invested in my spiritual life. And now I'm just tired and weary. I've done my time. And I think Paul is saying this morning, get off the couch. No, you haven't. Finish well, you know. Maybe you have had a hiccup along the way. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe God has let you down in some way. Maybe Christians have let you down in some way. But something has happened. There's been an obstacle in the race, and you've quit, or you're getting weary and you're slowing down. And this morning, Paul is saying to you, no, get back in the race. Get off the couch. Get back up off the ground. Get back in the race. Keep running to Jesus and allowing him to transform you. And here's a few practical ways. So as I thought about this, I thought, you know, there's really nothing new under the sun. We have all these new, just like in our physical world, we have all these new diet fads. Anybody else get invitations on Facebook and everything for creams and diets and pills and all these things all the time? There's always a new thing, but you know what it always comes back to? Eating right and working out, doesn't it? Calories in, calories out. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. I can't tell you any fancy new tool or formula to make you gritty spiritually or to make you transformed spiritually or to make you run the race well. It's the same thing. that we always say. Pray. Commune with God. Read his word. Know scripture. And love it. And be in community. Come to church. Have a fellow community of believers, of runners. When I think about prayer, I think just start with 5 minutes. You know, I'm talking to a lot of people who probably pray way longer than 5 minutes, but maybe you're in the crowd and you're like, oh, I don't even know how to pray anymore. Just start with 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes and let it grow. Even there's actually a running program called Couch to 5K, and it teaches you how to, in like 9 weeks, how to get off the couch and run a race, right? And the first couple weeks is truly like, just run for 5 minutes, that's it. And then you grow in your stamina, you know? And the same goes for our spiritual life. Pray for 5 minutes, set an alarm. Make it a habit daily. Pray for 5 minutes and then grow in your stamina. And when that becomes normal and routine, invite Jesus to do more and say, I'm gonna pray a little longer today. Start that rhythm and that routine. Or I think about scripture, just start to read scripture. And many of you, again, you probably read scripture so much more even than I do. But some of you are like, oh, I haven't opened the Bible for a long time. It just feels dry to me, or it doesn't feel full of life. I would encourage you, even though it's hard, even though you may not get anything out of it immediately, open it up. Start a plan. Do a Bible in a year. You can buy a Bible that allows you to read through the Bible in a year. And man, there's some parts in that where you're like, this does not relate to me, you know, but you push through. And in doing so, there's like this spiritual grit that's formed in you. And then I also just want to say, stay committed to this body of believers here. The thing about racing is that no one can do it for you, right? Matthew can't train and run the race for me, but he can do it with me, and I need that. No one can run for you. No one can grow your spiritual life. No one can grow your relationship with Jesus and run this race for you. You've got to do it yourself, but you do it in community with a lot of other people. I mean, look around the room. These are your fellow runners. Be committed to each other. Be committed to being here on Sundays. You know, sometimes I think church has taken on this mentality of like, when it's convenient. Even Sunday mornings, like, well, we have all these other things in our life. So, oh, we have a free Sunday, we can go to church. No. Make it a commitment. This isn't just a nice little uplifting gathering of people. This is training. This is what Paul's talking about. This is the training. You know, we do all these things individually throughout the week and with people throughout the week, and then we come here together and we get training, and we look at our fellow racers and we're like, all right, let's keep running the race this week. It's good. It's worth it. Be committed. Join a discipleship group. Join a book study here. Be committed. To each other. No one can run the race for you, but you can't run the race alone. And so what I want to close with, my final statement this morning, is just Ashworth Road, get in the race. And if you're already in the race, stay in the race. Stay committed to Jesus. Stay committed to your internal life, to the transformation of your heart and of your mind and of your soul. Stay in it. Get in it and stay in it. And I got my cowbell and I'm gonna cheer you on. And I'm gonna race with you. We're gonna race together. And we're gonna see God do amazing things. And we're gonna be people who finish the race. And we get that prize of Jesus saying, well done, my good and faithful servant.